world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Let's begin.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What do you think we are, gangsters?
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Can I interrupt? I'll address the Keon situation.
Earlier on the show, five-time Pro Bowler Terron Armstead, ESPN college football analyst Josh Pate. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show Championship Sunday, just a few days away as of this very moment. Jeff Hafley was just introduced as the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Still six gigs unfilled for next year's head coaching photograph at next year's owners meeting in March. It's kind of like the Back to the Future photograph, the Polaroid is getting filled in one by one.
Yeah, right.
844-204-RICH being the number to dial. We chatted with Josh Pate last hour to close off the college football season. Hour number one, Terron Armstead was here. If you missed anything, there's always our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. All 3 hours available in podcast form, however you get your pods. There's also the Disney Plus page. Once we're done, you can watch us back anytime you want by hitting the tab to watch the entire show back. One of our favorites, kind enough to join us once again with so much happening, is Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer. Good to see you, Bert. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Rich. How we doing? Sorry, I was coming in hot. Got caught in a little traffic on the way home.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I think, like, when there's even the prospect of a snowstorm now up here, which you're a native to the Northeast, a lot of people get on the roads, and I don't know if they're emergency shopping at the grocery store or whatever, but yeah, it was pretty busy out there.
Well, you know, from what I hear, what's coming to New England, that there's going to be a captive audience for sure for the AFC Championship game with the snow hitting. But before we get to anything for championship weekend, I would love to know your thoughts, backstory of the firing of Sean McDermott that led to a press availability of owner Terry Pegula and the new GM/president of football operations of the Buffalo Bills in Brandon Bean. What led to all of that? What do you have?
Yeah, so I think what you've seen over the last week is a lot of the tension and pressure that was on everybody over the course of the last 3 or 4 months spilling out. I don't think, you can see it, by the way, their interviews list has been kind of cobbled together now. I don't think that there was any major discussion between ownership and anybody else in that building about doing this. Yet, you know, I think as November became December, as December became January, as the AFC bracket materialized, and there's no Joe Burrow in there, there's no Lamar Jackson in there, most of all, there's no Patrick Mahomes in there. There was just this tension and pressure that didn't exist before. In that building. And I think, you know, when you look at Josh Allen's emotion coming out of the game, when you look at Sean McDermott's reaction to the officiating coming out of the game, and now this with Terry Pegula, it's almost like all of that has spilled out. This has been, I think, one of the most well-run organizations in the sport over the last 9 years since Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean got there. And so, I mean, to me, it's really eye-opening watching that. I mean, it's like watching a car crash in real time, you know, over the last few days there. And so they still have good people there, and I trust they get it right. But the optics of it aren't good. You know, throwing a player who's still on your roster and Keon Coleman under the bus the way that they did. And I think I don't think it was all that graceful the way that Terry Pegula talked about Sean McDermott either. You know, kind of felt a little bit like you're kicking a guy when he's down, which I'm sure, you know, if he had a second chance at that, maybe he would word some of the things a little bit differently. And then I think the optics of promoting Brandon Bean. I think Brandon Bean's one of the most capable general managers in all of football. However, you have to understand the way this is going to look, you know, and I think of the scene from Office Space where I can't remember what the guy's name was, but the character, you know, the main character in Office Space, and the other guys had just been let go, and they go to tell him, and then he's like, well, yeah, I got promoted. I know it's not fair. You know what I mean? Like, it just sort of felt that way. And the reality of it is, like, this is sort of a restructure for them. And they're going to what Pegula has in the NHL with the Sabres, maybe what he's more comfortable with, which is you're going from having your coach and GM report to ownership to now having the coach report to the GM and the GM report to ownership. So they're restructuring a little bit here. At least that's the idea. We'll see whether or not, like, whoever the new coach is changes that at all. But a messy week altogether and a restructuring of the organization that's part of it. And it's hard not to think that when you listen to the words, right, and you listen to them say, like, what happened in Denver was the reason why, it sort of, I think, brings to light, you know, just how tense and how scattershot everything's been there the last few days.
Because it does make it sound like it was an emotional decision rather than one that you normally take some time, clear heads and things of that nature. And Pegula still seemed to be hot. He seemed to be not only hot about the way it ended in Denver, but also the way he's clearly attuned to narratives that have been ascribed to his general manager and one particular player in Keon Coleman. And unfortunately for them, one of the more shared pieces of video I saw on socials yesterday, Albert, was the Hard Knocks, in which Brandon Bean is clearly on board with Keon Coleman, if not his own idea. But let's place that aside for the moment and say, so you're saying there's a new structure in Buffalo, basically the structure that John Harbaugh just undid with the Giants. So if Brian Daboll comes to Buffalo, he'd be familiar with that setup of reporting to the general manager. And is that part and parcel of what's going on there? I mean, Daboll would be a familiar choice. And one that I think maybe does need to be sold to the fan base in terms of his wins and losses. But what do you think, Albert?
It's kind of interesting because a couple of days ago I heard probably not. But I think Josh Allen's involvement in this is a factor. And Josh is very, very close with Brian Daboll. And so, you know, I do think that they're going into this with an open mind, but you can clearly see, like, a lot of the guys that they're bringing in have connections. Joe Brady works there now, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have Brian Daboll, who was there this morning, and you have Anthony Lynn, who worked there previous to this regime. So, like, there's familiar faces that are coming in to interview there. And, that's why I said when they put this list together, it does feel a little bit like, all right, like, we've got to kind of cobble something together and hustle something together and kind of collect what we're doing, you know, because it just didn't feel like this is something where, okay, I'm pulling the list out of my drawer and it's been ready for 2 months and here we go, you know? And obviously they're later, and part of that is, you know, the fact that they were in the second round of the playoffs, which puts them behind the other nine teams that had openings. It's only six now, or it's only five now, but the other nine teams that had openings had a jump start on them, or a head start on them. So I think Daboll's candidacy is interesting because I think this is going to be a Josh Allen-centric hire. I would also say that this is a golden opportunity for them. And I think all those guys realize it, that you may never have this sort of carrot to put in front of coaching candidates before, where you've got Josh Allen a few months from his 30th birthday in the prime of his career. He's the best player in the sport. You're going into a new stadium. I mean, if you're doing this again in 4 or 5 years, you don't know that Josh Allen's going to be still in the same state he is now based on the mileage he's already got on his body, you know. So I think you have to treat this as a golden opportunity. So they're going to go through these interviews. Would I be surprised if you take a big swing? If they were to take a big swing, I wouldn't be surprised, because that's what this sort of opportunity dictates, at least in my mind.
Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated is MMQB, must read every single week here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who pops next? Ravens pop next? What's your general sense here?
I think like the Ravens situation is another one that's interesting. And I put them in the Steelers category in that one, they've made very successful off the board hires. John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin were off the board hires, right? Like that wasn't anybody's hot candidate in 07 or 08. And they have a lot to sell. So this isn't like some sort of reclamation project for anyone coming in. And I think, you know, the flip side of it is for that reason, the candidates have to fit them as much as, you know, they have to build something for their coaching candidates. So I think it's at least interesting that Jesse Minter was just in there yesterday. Mm-hmm. He worked there before. They know him. They've been able to see Mike McDonald's success in Seattle. Mike McDonald and Jesse Minter worked together in Baltimore, and Minter succeeded McDonald at Michigan and had similar success. And now Jesse Minter is canceling his interview with the Browns today. Just interesting. Minter also interviewed with the Raiders the day before that. There are Michigan connections there too with Tom Brady and John Spytek. So that's an interesting name. I think Brian Flores is seen as a program fit for Baltimore. I look at them as one, you know, Clint Kubiak's another one that has some ties there. I think that's one where they can be patient and let the process play out. But it wouldn't shock me if, you know, Jesse Minter wound up being the guy.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me either. So who are the Browns looking at?
Well, I mean, like, I think I felt like all along, like Jim Schwartz sort of had the inside track here. I think they want to keep Jim Schwartz in the building based on what they know about him. And if you really drill down, like if we're being fair about this, Jim Schwartz, his time in Detroit, you know, his third year, they broke through. He took over a winless team. His third year, they break through and make the playoffs for the first time in forever. And I think what kind of took them down there was more a roster building thing than anything else. Like, I think he had really believed that he could make it work with kind of some wayward players. And they had a disastrous draft in 11 with Nick Fairley and Titus Young and Mikel LeSueur, where that like Jeff Fisher Titans model didn't really work for them. But I think there's some merit to the idea of Jim Schwartz. And again, I think they'd like to keep him in the building in some capacity. And then you look at the young offensive names. Grant Yudinski is going to be in there tomorrow, the Jaguars offensive coordinator. He's only 30. They're hoping for a chance to talk to Nathan Shielhas, the Rams pass game coordinator, early next week when he's allowed to do a second interview with them. Mm-hmm. So I think Jim Schwartz, I think their preference is to have Jim Schwartz as part of the equation. And, you know, I think it'll either be Jim Schwartz or one of these young offensive guys, with Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator.
So let's talk Raiders, Albert. What's happening with them? Another Tom Brady hire with him in the mix, and they've got the first overall pick as well. So obviously that's going to be part of the interview process, visions of Fernando Mendoza, or who they think is the first overall pick. What are you hearing about the Raiders' approach here?
So they're very cognizant that the quarterback is going to have to be accounted for in all of this, right? Like, so that does not mean you have to hire an offensive coach. However, if Jesse Minter, who they like a lot, is going to get the job, there's going to have to be a detailed plan for, okay, here's our offensive coordinator, here's our quarterbacks coach, here's how we're going to bring them along. And when we lose our offensive coordinator, if that happens in a year or two, here's the guy who's going to replace him, who I'm going to put on my staff right now. I think it has to be something like that, right? For them to be convinced not to go with an offensive guy. So I think Minter is in the running. And presuming he has a plan for all of that, he's really sharp and he's interviewed really well, I would think that box would be checked by him. I think he's in the running. Davis Webb, to me, might be the most interesting name, though. He's incredibly well thought of. He hasn't coached for very long is the problem. But he played in the league recently. He's, my understanding, like got like a passing relationship with Tom Brady. But He's got two offensive coordinator names that I know are on this list that have tight connections to Brady. And one is Brian Daboll, who could wind up going to Tennessee as the coordinator, could go to Buffalo as the head coach. But Brian Daboll is one name for Davis Webb. They were together both in New York and Buffalo when Davis was a player. And the other is Cliff Kingsbury, who almost went to Vegas a couple of years ago as a coordinator, who's tight with Brady. And so I think Davis Webb has a ton of head coach qualities. And I think part of it is the same thing with the Rams have with McVay, right? Like, which is, like, I remember talking to the Rams front office people when they hired Sean, and the whole thing was, well, we can hire him now a year early, or we just won't get him at all, because if he doesn't get a job this year, he's going to get one next year, and we're not going to be looking for one next year, right? So I think with Davis, that's part of the logic is, do we go in early on a guy, a year early with a guy, bring in an experienced offensive coordinator who can work with the quarterback, and just bet on this guy's upside? And so I think Davis Webb has a shot in Vegas under that sort of setup.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's turn to the championship Sunday before I let you go on with the rest of your Thursday. Your opinion of Jared Stidham's readiness is what?
I've talked to a handful of people about him who've worked with him, coached him over the course of the last few days. So his story is fascinating. He had kind of a rough upbringing, was a blue chip high school quarterback at a Texas small school powerhouse, goes to Baylor, was going to be the guy there. Then he gets caught in the crossfire of the Art Briles thing. No fault of his own, of course, but winds up transferring to Auburn. Not a great system for a young quarterback there, but he makes it work. And then the Patriots gamble on him, and they take him in 19 with the idea, like, this guy is going to be a good guy to have in the pipeline, sort of like Jimmy Garoppolo was a few years earlier. He had a chance to start in 20. He had a back injury that kind of limited him a little bit that offseason, and then COVID wiped out OTAs and minicamp. And then Bill goes and signs Cam Newton on July 1st, and the opportunity to start goes away. The Patriots then draft Mac Jones the next year. So that window that he had to become the starter there had shut. But Josh McDaniel still thought enough of him when he got to Vegas the next year to trade for him. And then they tried to bring him back the following year, but got outbid by Sean Payton, who brought him in as Russell Wilson insurance. And then Stidham stays the next year when Nix is drafted. And now they re-up with him again at 2 years and $12 million. So Sean Payton liked the idea that he can handle my offense because he's played for Josh McDaniels. I'm told he's been fantastic behind the scenes the last couple of years, a key part of Bo Nix's development and having the right sort of quarterback room. He's got swagger. He's got a skill set that's not that different than Nix's. Now, my question would be with Stidham, can he make the four or five throws at the end of the game that Bo Nix was making consistently? There's a reason why Bo Nix was coming back in all those games, 7 fourth quarter comebacks, another one in the playoffs that broke a Broncos record, the franchise of John Elway and Peyton Manning, right? Nix was making those throws at the end of the game. So can Stidham make those throws? But I can just tell you, just talking to people, he's not going to shrink to this moment. Like, what people who know him best and the people who've coached him say is, if this guy makes a mistake, it might be a couple picks because of overconfidence, but he's going to go out there and sling it. And if Sean Payton makes this work and wins the Super Bowl for Jared Stidham, Sean Payton walks into Canton, I think. Okay. Don't you?
Of course. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So don't you think Sean Payton, I know Sean. Don't you think Sean would love to see to say to everybody right now, watch this?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, he'd love to do that, and he'd love a shot at the Rams, who, as you know, went to the Super Bowl in Atlanta rather than his Saints. Yep. You know, with the pass interference that wasn't called. I mean, his competitiveness and his sort of, you know, hackles are very, we're familiar with it, and it's very famous. The bottom line, though, is a guy hasn't, I have a number right here, he hasn't thrown a pass in 749 days.
And that's the difference, right? Because That's the difference, because we can make the comparisons to Jeff Hostetler and Nick Foles and even Tom Brady, right?
Yeah, sure, right.
And Kurt Warner. Those guys all had runway, right? Warner, Trent Green got hurt in the summer.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe got hurt in September. Like, Foles and Hostetler are closer, both those guys had regular season games that they started at the end of the year leading into the playoffs. So this is different. You know what I mean? Like, this one is not the same as those. And that's why I can't wait to see how he plays, Rich. I mean, you like to see every team be at full strength, and that's not really possible because of the nature of the sport. And you certainly like to see the best quarterbacks going. But I just think this is a fascinating story. I mean, I just can't get out of my head how well Teddy Bridgewater played in an emergency situation for the Saints in 2019, went 5-0 when Drew Brees got hurt. I don't know if Jared Stidham would work for 17 games, as a starting quarterback for the Broncos. But do I think that Sean Payton might be able to make it work for two? I mean, he might be able to.
What's your take on the NFC Championship game before I let you go?
Yeah, so I think the Seahawks are the best roster left. I think they've shown that, right? So we saw how complete they were. I mean, the first quarter of that game against San Francisco was like the definition of complimentary football, that cliche, right? It was kick return for a touchdown, turnover on downs, offense cashes it in, turnover, offense cashes it in, right? So I think they're the most complete team left. I think these Rams are very different than the Rams that were there 4 years ago. And I think part of it is Sean McVay's reaction to Kyle Shanahan having his number. And he knew they had to get tougher, and he knew they had to get more rugged. And over the summers, in the last couple of summers, they've gotten, they've had longer practices. They've had more contact. They've invested in the lines of scrimmage. Kevin Dotson coming over from Pittsburgh to play at guard has become one of the best guards in football. They invested in Jonah Jackson. That didn't work out as much, but that was another investment up front. The defensive front versus Fisk, Kobe Turner, Young, all of those guys are big, rugged guys. And they were built to beat the Niners. They're built to beat the Seahawks too, to stand up to a really tough Seahawks team. So I think if the Rams are going to win this game and beat a really, really good Seahawks team, the formula is going to be, let's turn this game into a street fight. And, we'll get to the point where there's 5 minutes left. And then number nine goes down on the table as our trump card. It's a very different way that they won the Super Bowl 4 years ago, but I think there's a real path to victory there and what's going to be an unbelievable environment for football.
All right, man. Stay warm. Stay out of the snow there.
Well, I'll be in Denver and then Alabama, so I'm actually missing it, but I appreciate your concern.
Oh, boy. Man. Family minus dad without in a snowstorm. I got you.
Emily feels great about it, let me tell you.
Listen, we all know who the all-star in that, the all-pro in that house is. Alabama is in reference to the Senior Bowl, correct?
Senior Bowl, that's right, yeah.
And here we go. Mm-hmm. Here we go. It's that time of year. Well, obviously look for my request for your time from there too, as always.
You
Albert.
Got it.
Thanks, buddy. You be well.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
It's Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, Albert.
What he just said there, this is what leaps out for me. It's just, I still can't get over that we're now 9 years in to Sean McVay's tenure. He just finished coaching his last game as a 30-year-old last weekend. Sunday's NFC Championship game will be his first game coaching as a 40-year-old. His birthday is Saturday. Okay? And I'll never forget. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again in advance of conference championship weekend. Thursday night football. Okay? The Rams had just fired Jeff Fisher. They were done. They were finished. Jared Goff starts his first game on the road as the new face of the future. And it's John Bones Fossil.
Yeah.
The special teams coach, who's the interim head coach, on the sidelines. So I'll never forget, we ran into Jim Fossil on the sidelines. He was pissed because even though he had credentials, people who were in charge of the sidelines there in Seattle were trying to kick him off because he wasn't essential personnel. He was pissed. I'll never forget. He turned to Mooch. He goes, family and football, my ass. At any rate. But that night, the Seahawks manhandled the Rams. I gave you that stat in a previous hour of how tight it is all time. Seattle has one more win than the Rams in their all-time matchups and only one more point in the aggregate. This wasn't close that night. They destroyed them. And the flight home, the Rams were kind enough to give me a spot on the plane because I had to get back here to do this show on a Friday. And it was a flying funeral. A flying funeral in that plane where everybody's just wondering what is happening, you know. First overall pick, is he the right guy? And at least that's what I was thinking. Maybe they weren't thinking on the plane, but. And this just goes to show you, not a soul on that plane. If I walked up to him and said, hey, guess what? You're about to hire a guy who's barely 30, and you will, with this hire, create such a run that you're going to be a paragon of excellence in the NFL. And everyone's going to want a piece of what you're doing. And you just heard Albert say that Davis Webb, somebody who is, you know, barely 30 himself, never done it before as a head coach, might get hired because they saw what the Rams did with Sean McVay 9 years ago, hiring early. Rather than waiting, you don't want to coach, choose again next year. This is your guy now. You take your guy now. It sounded like drafting somebody. Okay, you're drafting somebody. Don't know if they're going to be available in the next round. You might as well take them now. In case, it doesn't matter if it's early. It's your guy, and it works out. No one's going to remember how early you did it. The Sean McVay hiring in the NFL still resonates. And he's about to coach his first game as a 40-year-old. Now as a dad twice over, you know. And I remember seeing him on that sideline in Chicago, you know, with that hat on and the vest. Looks like he's on a cover of a magazine, right? And this guy right there. And I honestly, I thought about this not to, you know, send a stray in his direction because I love Jeff Fisher. You remember how he had like that big old coat in New England and he was fishing for the red challenge flag and it looked like he couldn't find it in all of his big ass pockets. You know what I mean? Like this is a different era, different casting, younger generation guy that he still is a model for that as he's about to turn 40. Blows my mind.
Yeah. Crazy.
10 wins as a 30-year-old in the playoffs, twice as many as Madden.
Second longest tenured head coach in the NFL, right?
Unbelievable. And they got to keep it going. He's got to stay fresh. And a quarterback who's almost as old is helping. Because he's playing like he's in year three still at Stafford. We take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The Dolphins' new front office and coach talking about Tua's future. That's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service expert. Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery. They're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. Ed in Long Beach, California. What's up, Ed?
Eddie.
Hey, Rich, how you doing? First time caller. I've been on before a couple of times, but thank you so much for taking the call. I watch you guys all the time. Yeah. Religiously, you guys are all the best. I have a beef with you, man. I'm sorry. I love you, but, man, you know, and Chris, by the way, shout out to my Trophy Town brethren. I'm a Northeastern alumni hockey, by the way.
Let's go.
You know, you guys pick on Boston teams all the time. You've had a beef and giving us no flowers, and he tells you all the time, you know, just earlier, your guest on again, talking about the week schedule and who he played has been weak. I mean, you guys did this at the Celtics in 2024 as well. Everybody was hurt and yada yada. You know, we had hurt players too as well. It's just you guys don't like Boston teams, man. I don't know
what you're talking about. Ed, I'm married into the family. My youngest son is going to go off to college as a Celtic, Patriot, Yankee fan because I put my marker on the baseball. Come on, Ed.
I apologize, but just you haven't been getting any flowers.
I love it. No, I'm trying to rile Chris up here, Ed, and I got you caught in a blender.
It's working. Yeah.
Okay.
Ed, you're shrapnel, buddy.
Man, you guys have been giving them any flowers about it. And he told you the other day you haven't been, and I apologize. You're very fair. I know. I'm sorry. I'm just upset with everybody else because they pick on us so much, man. You know?
Ed.
That was my beef.
Ed, they hate us because they ate
us,
bro.
Oh, we have six Super Bowls. You know what I mean? Oh, they pick on us. Oh, we had the greatest quarterback ever. We had the greatest. Get out of here.
Duck boats. Drop
this
call. We love the fortunate to be most hated sports team in America is a key distinction. Thank you very much.
Ed in Long Beach, everybody.
Ed, we back, baby. It's good. It's good.
Given credence to my opinion I gave to Bill Burr. He shot it down. Boston sports fans is like the Tea Party. They feel like they're unrepresented and they're taxed.
That's right.
You know, it's just like that.
You know what I mean?
By the way, you know what? Just to call out fans, you know who needs to be called out? We need to hear from him. And I think we're going to post it. We need to hear from Dustin in Arkansas.
Is that the 0-18 guy?
Dustin in Arkansas came on during the summer, played the win-loss game for the Patriots, and had them going 0-17.
I mean,
we need to hear from him.
He wasn't.
Listen, I spent hour two. It was like a my bad palooza from me running through different bad takes that I've had. I mean, 0-17 is a win-loss game. How far can you get from 0-17? Obviously 17-0, but how does 14-3 and going to the Super Bowl potentially sound? That's pretty far afield from 0-17.
Not great. It hasn't aged well.
Not great, Bob.
As they say.
Or Dustin. We need to hear from you.
He was a fan, right? Who was just frustrated.
I don't think so.
Was he? I can't remember if he was a Pats fan or not.
I don't think he was.
I think he was because we were vetting people about who their teams were.
17-0, man.
Yeah.
We got the new one.
So the Dolphins' new brass had a press conference today. John Eric Sullivan. Very interesting. Is he the only guy in a general manager position with a dash in his first name?
Oh.
John Eric?
Like Mark Paul.
Gosler?
Yeah.
Okay.
Carl Anthony.
Towns. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Jeff Hafley, the new head coach. He looks no nonsense. He's just sitting up there not smiling.
Nope.
He looks like he means business. Yeah, man. Well, at any rate, he was asked if he's ready. You know, BC coach who's like, you know what, I'm out of here, out of college. I'd rather go to be the DC in Green Bay. By the way, worked out. Great plan, man.
Yeah.
He's now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Hit it.
I do believe I'm ready. Now, are there going to be things that I learn as we go through this as a first-time NFL head coach? Yeah. I mean, that's life. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I surround myself with great people and do everything I can that if I do make those mistakes, that I won't make them again. But I feel more than ready to do it here.
I would just love it if he just gave a straight up answer like, am I ready? Of course not. They just blew it.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah, right.
What an answer that would be. I would love that.
I couldn't sign that contract fast enough.
They blew it.
Cha-ching.
Does he and John Eric go to the same barber?
Yeah, you know, similar. I was trying to figure out, is that a flat top situation on Halfley? Or is it like, you know, a Tommy P where it's just kind of,
I don't know,
up there?
I can't wait to have him on and waste our time by asking those questions.
That's the important stuff people want to know.
You know, but asking a head coach, you know, are you ready?
It's like,
what is that? It's like asking a 94-year-old, do you want to drive yourself around and eat cereal at the red lights?
Yes.
Of course you do.
Always yes.
No one's going to ask that of William Shatner.
How dare you?
At any rate, back to the task at hand, because we all know getting the coach right is important.
Yeah, well,
but the quarterback spot.
A little bit more, I think.
All right, John Eric, you're up. What's the scoop with Tua?
Whether it's Tua or anybody else, it's unfair and irresponsible for me to sit up here and talk about anything specific before I've talked to the player himself. Quarterback is the most important position in professional sports. You know, I also think it's the most dependent. These guys heard me say this in the interview process. We will evaluate that position like we evaluate every other position, and we will do what is best for this football team. With Tua or anybody else, to sit up here today and tell you that I have a great understanding of what we're going to do or which way we're going to go, that would be a lie, because there's just too much work to do. There's too many conversations to be had at this point. A lot of respect for Tua, what he's accomplished in this league. I thought Quinn did a great job at the end of the season. We have to figure that out. We will, but today is not the day I can give you that answer. I understand the question. I just can't give you that answer today.
Okay. I love that. Well done. Straight up. I don't know yet. So this, you know, you could basically say, ask me at the combine. I might have a better idea. Mm. 99 million dead cap. They just say, see ya.
Pre June 1st.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
yeah. Do you think anyone would trade for?
No way. Why would anybody want to trade for the contract that is an albatross based on Tua's, you know, production? You just take a look back. If you could, can you play that soundbite once again with the sound down? You know, do me that favor, just re-rack it and play with the sound down, because you're just looking at Halfley's, like, staring out into space.
Well, then he kind of is like weirdly...
No. I'm just wondering if he's sitting there thinking to himself, I wonder what Malik Willis would look like around here.
It's true.
Because that's not a bad choice.
Yeah, he's very familiar.
I know him. I wonder what he's up to. Can I get that Prime 112 reservation for tonight?
11.
What is that? Oh, what is it? Okay, that's it.
What is that other club right down there, TJ?
Say it again.
I think 11.
Oh, by the way, I heard somebody went there after the national championship game. 11's somebody told me that.
11. Yeah, they had a good time.
Yeah,
11. Made me think. He didn't go home.
Who's that?
Just look it up. Google it.
Google.
And I don't mean Signetti. No, in all. Straightforward. That was great. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, the head coach isn't going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, Tua is not going to be here. They haven't spoken to him yet, and they have to speak in turn. That's a big, huge decision. And I bet they're going to go to the combine, and they're going to look at all the quarterbacks that are there and see is the next one here. Because Tua is going to – I don't know how much they're going to eat. The Broncos, though, they're the example of you can eat as long as the other parts of the roster are ready. You can eat a big, huge ass cap hit, and you can draft wisely, and you can host the AFC Championship game in a couple of years.
Facts.
If you get the coach right, and you get the quarterback right, and you get the roster right. And they've just changed the coach and are a guy in charge of the roster. Now we're just going to wonder what the quarterback is. They can make a change there. We take a break. We come back. I believe, do we have our first mock draft?
Oh, you better believe it, Rich Eisen.
Okay. Oh, and hire register before we go out the door. Okay. That's all still to come here on the program. I wonder what Malik Willis is up to.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the radio side of things, along with our live feed. That's on our Disney Plus and ESPN app. LinkedIn Jobs is stepping things up with their new AI assistant so you can feel confident you're finding top talent and hiring right the first time. Get this. Employees hired through LinkedIn are 30% more likely to stick around for at least a year compared to those hired through the leading competitor. Get started by posting your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right. It's our Higher Register segment at Championship Weekend edition of Higher Register. Hit it.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows.
That there could be.
Higher Register. Take of the week.
All right. Now, listen, our friends at Disney, you are awesome. We love being with you. Okay. And we feel everything's gone well so far. And I say this fully regular register, but whoever is aggregating us from this segment does not get the bit.
No.
Okay. We're being aggregated as if these are our 100% we believe in it opinions. When we go higher register, it means we have to go higher register to believe what we think might happen. Not like this is our prediction. Go ahead and tell the world on every social site at your disposal. All right. I kind of feel the need to address whoever there in the system is sabotaging the system.
Oh, yeah. Just make a note in the caption.
Make a note.
It's like my overreaction.
That's why it sounds like T.J. Jefferson is sucking helium over there when he gives his opinion.
We should have real helium here.
All right. Well, mine should require is so high a register this week, it's going to require it. But do you have over there, Chris? No. Okay. What do you got?
All right. This has been an amazing NFL season. The playoffs have been just as awesome and crazy and entertaining. Having said that, it feels like.
Oh boy!
Oh,
both title games are going to be better than the Super Bowl.
Whoa, dude! You're giving us something we won't know for 3 weeks from now.
I think we'll still be here.
Okay. Okay.
I registered.
So you think both games are going to be so good that the Super Bowl can't even top it?
Last year's Super Bowl wasn't good at all.
All right, I hear you.
Let's hear an Eagles fan.
TJ, what do you have over there?
All right, first of all, I'm not like an all-22 guy. I'm not breaking down tape, right? So I look at these matchups, and we just have to make a guess, right? We're fans. We got to make a guess.
Oh, gosh. Now just do it.
So I'm going to do it. In week 10, right?
Say it.
Los Angeles scores first. They win 21-19. In week 15, ooh, Seattle scored first.
Ooh.
They won 38-37 in overtime. Yeah, so that being said, the team that scores first, they're going to win the NFC.
Okay.
Hey.
Mevis field goal is it wraps it.
Based upon these first two games, this is how close this is, guys.
I see you. I see you. All right. There's no take you can have about Jared Stidham without being high register. You can't do it.
It's true.
It's true.
It is so unbelievable what we are seeing, that we're seeing somebody starting an AFC championship game, his first pass will be his first pass in 749 days. His last pass attempt 749 days ago as of this championship Sunday was intercepted by Trevon Merrig, who, as you know, was famous this year for hitting Jawan Jennings after that Monday night game.
Yeah, okay.
It's been this long. There is no playbook for it other than just the gut feel that everybody initially thought had no chance, and by kickoff Sunday, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. But it's just Sean Payton using a chip on his shoulder to his advantage is a powerful, powerful tool. And the fact that this guy is a big-armed guy who can chunk play it down the field makes me think, by the end of the day, on Sunday in Denver, Jared Stidham's going to have more touchdowns than Drake May. May just wind up with more than May. You know? But Sean Payton dialing it up, and Stidham doing what he's done before, and even though it's a very small sample size, and he hasn't done it in a while, I just kind of feel like he's going to go chunk playing down the field, and at the end of the day, Stidham's going to have more touchdowns. He may not win. He may still not win. Because he has, all three phases here. But at the end of the day, more than May.
No.
And that rhymes. That's my higher register. Whew. Okay, whoever's aggregating us, it's higher register. You got to go up there to believe it.
Higher. That's getting clipped for sure.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah,
Rich. It's 100% getting clipped.
Rich Eisen
right
thinks Jared Stidham's going to have more touchdown passes
that
than
is
Drake May.
That is in like 2 minutes.
But that's if I close. Said it as if I believe it 100%. Yeah. I'm up here.
Yeah.
Hey, eyes here, up here. Okay? Higher register. I don't know, on Friday's show.
All that being said, none of that's going to translate into the.
Yeah, you guys are all getting. That's it.
You know what? But at least I smiled when I did it.
Right,
hey.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney+, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.